Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and nine months FY 2023 earnings conference call of IndoStar Capital Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you for the Q3 nine months FY 2023 earnings conference call of IndoStar Capital Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter and nine months business performance, we have from the management Mr. Karthikeyan Srinivasan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vinod Panikkar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Srijit Menon, Chief Executive Officer, IndoStar Home Finance Private Limited. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that may be found on company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Karthikeyan for his opening comments, followed by commentary from Mr. Vinod Panikkar and Mr. Srijit Menon, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. This is Karthikeyan Srinivasan here. I'm pleased to welcome you all to our Q3 and nine months ended December 2022 earnings conference call. We hope all of you are safe and in the pink of health. I want to begin by thanking Mr. Deep Jaggi for his services to our company. As you may already know, he has decided to step down due to personal reasons, and the board has accepted his decision. We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. He will continue to assist IndoStar for a period of 3 months to enable smooth transition. Me, Karthikeyan, joined IndoStar in May 2022 as the Chief Risk Officer and now as the newly appointed CEO, I am excited to lead this company forward. I joined IndoStar after spending 20 years in ICICI. In ICICI, I've handled both the credit as well as the sales roles, and was the product head for commercial vehicle portfolio before I moved to IndoStar Capital. I, along with my team, have worked over the last 10 months to engineer a turnaround of the CV business, and I'm confident that with the support of our shareholders, our employees and partners, we will be able to showcase a successful turnaround. In addition, we have appointed Mr. Vinod Panikkar to the position of CFO in December 2022, and we have great faith in his ability to help us achieve our goals. Mr. Panikkar comes with a huge experience in the NBFC industry. To begin with, the domestic commercial vehicle volumes are expected to grow approximately 10% in FY 2024 and continue the way for the next 2-3 years. This is mainly due to the strength of the underlying demand drivers like construction and infrastructure activity, the huge demand for e-commerce, as well as the continued thrust of the government on infrastructure development, which is expected to provide further support to this demand. The uptake will be primarily driven by the medium and heavy commercial vehicles and considering the economic growth at around 6%. The growth in the M&HCV will also propel a strong push for the ICV, the light commercial vehicle, which will aid the hub-to-spoke transportation and the small commercial vehicles. This demand will lead to an increase in the used vehicle segment, which is expected to double in size by FY 2025. This doubling will be mainly due to the scrappage policy, which limits the 15 year limit on the age of the vehicle. This will provide more opportunities in the segment. currently, up to 60% of financing for these used vehicles is handled by the unorganized sector, but we believe that the organized sector will increase its share in the next few years. The used commercial vehicle segment has been able to maintain a stable growth rate. This growth can be attributed to several factors, including affordability and multi-purpose use. Despite the overall increase in the vehicle price trend due to the transition to BS6 and higher fuel costs, the increase in the used CV price is relatively lower, making it an attractive option for many customers who want to venture into the commercial vehicle space. Also, these commercial vehicles, the used commercial vehicles, come with multi-purpose usability, such as their ability to handle variety of loads, including sand, cement, grains, and have continued to drive demand. In contrast, new vehicles typically are taken for contracts with specific applications, and their usability in market load operations is quite limited. Also, the replacement demand is anticipated to be favorable in FY23, as certain replacement sales originally anticipated in FY21-22 were deferred due to the apprehension surrounding COVID-19 wave. The opportunity to expand the used commercial vehicle disbursement is on the rise due to the increased growth in this segment. To take advantage of this opportunity, Indostar, we plan to leverage our existing reach by increasing penetration to the field, which will help us enhance our customer connection. We also have launched a new digital process which will help us increase our presence in the market and reach even smaller geographies so that we are able to increase our penetration in the rural market. We are confident of our ability to capitalize on this growing used commercial vehicle market and expand our business. We are optimistic about the growth prospects of the commercial vehicle industry and are committed to leveraging these positive trends to drive our business forward. More importantly, at our small base, we can grow strongly over the coming many years at a much higher pace than the industry. We have spent a lot of time over the last 3 quarters in relooking at all our processes, policies, and setting up same in the light of what was seen some time back. We have strengthened controls, reviewed policies, and upgraded our technology system right from loan origination, credit appraisal, disbursal, and as well as the collection processes. There have also been significant changes in the senior management of the CV business. Our promoters, Brookfield and Everstone, have backed us to ensure that we come back strongly and have not just used technology to the maximum to ensure that anything beyond the approved policies are highlighted instantly and rectified immediately thereafter. We are confident that we will see good growth in FY24 and going forward. On the corporate book, our endeavor is to reduce it, and we expect our corporate book to be less than 15% of our AUM by the end of the next financial year. The SME book, we are reorienting our strategy and are now focusing more on the priority sector lending segment. At Indostar, we have a strong vision for growth and we are committed to achieve this in a risk-calibrated manner. In the next couple of years, we expect the CV loan book to grow by at least two times from our current base. We have done a lot of changes on the operational front in the last 9 months to keep ourselves ready for this growth. We continue to improve the efficiencies across branches and reach and increase our reach to achieve profitable growth. We believe the Tier 3 and Tier 4 markets are still not served completely by the organized players, and we have an opportunity to fill this gap in these markets. Our focus on collection has helped us reach all-time high collection efficiency numbers. The numbers are in front of us, which has helped reduce our gross NPA levels. We have also been very nimble-footed on the cost front to manage our profitability. In terms of capital adequacy, our capital adequacy stood at 33% and our debt equity at 1.8 times, which provide us enough headroom to look for funds that will drive our future growth. Our first focus has been on stabilizing the asset quality. We do believe the problem is now behind us, and we also continue to believe in the market opportunity. We wish to point out that the recognition of Stage 2 and Stage 3, which we did in our March 22 financials, was very conservative, and it is only due to this factor we have been seeing reversal of the provisions. The collection percentage stood at 137% in Q3 and 135% in Q2. And this gives us the strength to come back to the market with a very strong appetite to grow more in the commercial vehicle business. And we have also put in processes, policies, so that we can strengthen the organization and lead to good growth in the quarters to come. Our infrastructure has the capability of delivering up to 350 crores of disbursements a month. We were conservative to ensure that the processes were well laid out and tested before we press the growth pedal. We remain committed to delivering value to our shareholders while also providing the best possible financial solutions to our clients. I would now hand it over to Mr. Vinod to walk you through the Q3 performance. Over to you, Vinod.
Thank you, Karthikeyan. Good evening, friends. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this call today. Let me brief you on the financial highlights for the quarter that went by and the 9 months ended December 2022. On a consolidated basis, we recorded a revenue of 282 crores in Q3, which represents a year-on-year decrease of 2%. And for the 9 months ended December 2022, we recorded a revenue of 890 crores, which represents a year-on-year growth of 7%. Our finance cost stood at 135 crores in Q3, which is an increase of 8% year-on-year. And for the 9 months, it was 427 crores, an increase of 7% compared to the 9 months of the previous year. Based on that, the net total income stood at 147 crores for the quarter ended December 22, showing a decrease of 10%. For the 9 months, the total net income was at 463 crores, which represented a 6% increase year on year. Our NIMs have increased, improved substantially, as we have now shifted focus to the Tier 3, Tier 4 markets, with about 90 to 95% of the disbursement happening in the used CV business, where the yields are significantly better, thus improving the overall yields and the spread. Operating expenses at 122 crores for in Q3 FY23 was about 20% higher compared to the same quarter last year. This was mainly on account of certain securitization costs, certain professional fees that was paid, some increase in the employee cost, all of which we believe will get rationalized and controlled in the quarters to come. In the 9 months, the operating expenses were at 337 crores, which represented a 17% increase year on year. Pre-provisioning operating profit at 25 crores for the current quarter showed a decline of 59% year on year, and for the 9 months, the pre-provision operating profit at 126 crores represented a decrease of 14% year on year. Both these can be clearly attributed to the drop in the AUM, leading to lower revenue, the interest cost having risen, and also the lower disbursements leading to higher idle funds, which as a certain amount of negative carry cost. Also, Karthik had mentioned that the infrastructure that we have is sufficient to take care of disbursements of 300 to 350 crores, which effectively means that there is a higher fixed cost which is there in the existing OPEX. The PAT at 37 crores for the quarter is a 153% increase versus the same quarter last year. The 9 months the PAT of 149 crores represents a 7.5 times increase over the same period in the previous year when it was only at about 17 crores. This is mainly on account of significantly lower provisioning and more importantly on account of negative impairment costs. We recorded a total collection of 937 crores during the current quarter, which is up by 8% versus the immediately preceding quarter. Our gross collection efficiency at 137% in the current quarter was at, versus the 135 crores in the immediately preceding quarter and about 152% in the first 9 months of the current financial year, reflecting our commitment to maintain high credit standards and efficient operations. The collections against the pools sold to the ARC also gives us the confidence that we will end up getting right back in the quarters to come. We closely monitor the quality of our portfolio, and that has and that is the reason why we are seeing the gross stage 3 assets at 7.9% at the end of the third quarter. If you recall, at the end of March 2022, the stage 3 assets stood at 13.6% or 1,203 crores. We have been able to bring down the stage 3 gross levels in each of the quarters thereafter, and in spite of increase in the numbers due to implementation of ONAN. ONAN is once NPA, always NPA, unless you go back to the zero bucket. The stage 3 December 22 numbers was at 537 crores, in spite of the ONAN figure being about 45 crores. So net of that, it would have been less than 500 crores, at about 480-485 crores. Stage 2 had a similar movement, moving from a peak of 1770 crores in March 22 to about 991 crores as of end of December 22. All this would not have been possible without the effort of each and every member of the company, more specifically my colleagues from the collection team. This demonstrates this also demonstrates our commitment towards maintaining a healthy loan portfolio going forward. Our consolidated stage 3 assets were at 3.6%, which demonstrates the efficacy of our credit risk management strategy, which has come down from 6.4% as of 31st March 22. And therefore, we are able to take credit for certain write-backs and some of the provision reversals. In the third quarter of FY23, we have been able to raise incremental funding of 683 crores, which has contributed a lot to our LC liquidity position. As of 31st December 22, we had a cash equivalent of about 956 crores, which was about 15% more than what it was in the immediately preceding quarter. Finally, our capital adequacy, Karthik did mention, I'm just repeating it, stood at 33%, which gives us the resources and flexibility to pursue our future growth ambitions. Our debt to equity ratio at 1.8x indicates a very healthy balance sheet, leaving a lot of headroom for us to source external funds and grow the book profitably. Our asset under management of 7,669 crores, though down 3% versus the immediately preceding quarter when it was 7,908 crores, This was in spite of we showing an increased disbursement of 522 crores in the current quarter versus 334 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. We have a strong retail focus with the retail AUM now accounting for 6,143 crores or 84% of our total AUM. The retailization process that we started sometime in 2017-18 has paid rich dividends, and we are confident that we will continue this path, we will continue to take this route and grow profitably in the quarters to come. Let me talk about the segmental breakup for a couple of minutes now. Let me begin with the vehicle finance segment, where we recorded an AUM of 3,469 crores, down 4% from the immediately preceding quarter. This rundown was mainly on account of lower collection, and though the disbursement did increase in the third quarter, the first two quarters the disbursement was pretty low. We have experienced a reduction in the SME finance segment from about 1541 crores to about 1432 crores. That's again because the disbursement has been lower. On the corporate loan book, the disbursement, the loan book came down to 1,218 crores, a 2% reduction over the immediately preceding quarter. While this is a segment that is not in focus now and not being pursued, we do disburse against old sanctions. And in this quarter, we had a disbursement of 80 crores. This is one segment where we are looking at collecting the amounts that are due on due date to ensure that there are no slippages in this particular quarter. To talk a lot more about the housing finance segment, which is a segment that we are focusing on, I would now invite my friend Srijit to come and take over from you.
Thank you, Vinod. Good evening, everyone. IndoStar Home Finance, as you know, is an affordable home finance company focused on high-yield housing loans in the range of 14.5% to 15.5% with portfolio-level average ticket size of INR 9 lakhs. We have a best-in-class asset quality with net stage 3 of close to 1.2% and healthy spreads on the portfolio. Our recent past growth is neither reflective of our ambition nor of our capabilities. We have built a strong branch infrastructure and employee base to grow our AUM by over 2.5 times in the coming 2 years. That is, end of FY25, we expect our AUM to be in the 3.5 to 4,000 crore range. We had doubled our disbursements in the last financial year, ending March 22. This year, however, in the recent quarters, we had slowed disbursements. We have now shifted our focus back towards ramping up disbursements along with sustained asset quality. As a result, the company has now disbursed loans worth 107 crores, indicating a 30% increase compared to the 82 crore disbursed in Q2 FY23, with a clear line of sight on liquidity and robust funding pipeline. To support this effort, we have put in place manpower of 684 employees in Q3 FY23 with a thrust on feet on street. Financially, the company managed to post a small increase of 2% in its AUM as on December 22, which stood at 1526 crores as against 1489 crores as on September 22. In terms of revenue, the company recorded a total revenue of 46 crores for Q3 FY23 and 158 crores for 9 months FY23. It also achieved a profit after tax of 5 crores and 35 crores in Q3 FY23 and 9 month FY23 respectively. Gross stage 3 trended downwards to 1.65% as on December 22, which is a significant improvement from the March 22 levels of 1.8%. And this is in spite of the adoption of the new ONAN norms, which has you are all aware, commenced from 1st October 2022. Our capital adequacy ratio has been extremely strong at 86.5%, which indicates that the company has enough capital to support business growth. We will continue to maintain a healthy capital adequacy ratio. We also use this period to onboard some leading professionals from the industry to manage key functions of finance, HR, technology, and this we believe will aid us to scale up the business further. Thank you, everyone.
Should we begin the question and answer session?
Yeah, we can. Please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Nandish Shah from Money Control Pro. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, there is a change in the management. Mr. Jaggi has resigned. Can you explain a bit more on his move?
Hi. As I shared in my opening remarks, Mr. Jaggi resigned due to his personal reasons. The same was considered and approved by the NRC and the board in their meetings on February 14th. So it was his own personal decision to move away from the company.
Okay. So my second question is, do you see any risk to the capital adequacy? Because with weak profitability and asset quality impact, what is the capital adequacy ratio currently?
Nandish, good evening. Vinod here. We don't see any risk in the capital adequacy because currently it is at about 33%, which is very good versus the regulatory requirement of 15%. Apart from that, we have been seeing profitability in the first three quarters, and we don't see any reason why that should not continue going forward. While the book will definitely grow, we expect the profitability also to increase going forward. So we don't see any challenge at the capital adequacy front.
Sir, my last question is, can you explain the reason for the deterioration in asset quality during the quarter? NPA ratios have inched up, so wanted to know the reason for the same. What led to this? Thank you.
Nandish, again, the deterioration in percentage terms has got to do with the reduction in the loan book. The loan book overall has fallen down. In fact, it has, as of end of September, it was 6,857, it has gone down to 6,719 crores. That is one aspect. Second is this, from 1st of October, we have been recognizing NPA. We have implemented ONAN, which had an additional impact of about 45 crores on the total NPA. Those put together has led to the percentages being lower, being higher in terms of the gross NPA and the net NPA. If the ONAN as such was not considered in both the standalone and the consolidated, we would have possibly reported lower GNPA and lower NNPA. In case of, on a consolidated basis, the against the 7.9% gross that we reported, we would have possibly reported 7.1, which is in line with what we had reported in September. And NNPA, we had reported 3.6 or something in September, that we would have possibly reported 3.05 in December. It's only if ONAN is not considered.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'm done with my questions.
Thank you.
Thanks for the interest.
We have a next question from the line of Apurva Mehta from AM Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you share some outlook on our growth prospects, profitability going ahead for next 1-2 quarters, and how do we see our disbursement and and the credit cost for our company for next 1-2 quarter and the next whole financial year?
We are scaling up our disbursements. We did around 330 crores of disbursement in the December quarter on the parent. We plan to take this disbursement around 500 crores in the March quarter. The first quarter of next year also, we plan to increase our volume. As I explained, we have the ability to clock 300 crores per month. So we will slowly start reaching there. So we feel like this segment, because there is a segmental growth, plus we are reaching into tier 2, tier 3 markets, the asset growth will be quite strong. We have wrapped up our processes also so that we are able to reach the expected numbers which we are committing. The CV AUM is likely to grow continuously, and we are targeting a segment which is at a yield of around 18%. Which will give us a good NIM. So we don't anticipate any further shocks also. So we feel like both in terms of profitability and asset growth, the next year is going to be good.
Okay. And we have seen a uptick in the corporate disbursement. Any particular, because we basically want to focus into the retail segment. This time we have disbursed around 80 crores. So any particular reason that we are again looking towards the corporate lending, or this is just a one-off thing?
Yeah, Apurva, see, I had mentioned it in my commentary that we have stopped focusing on corporate lending. Sanctions which are there, against that if any disbursements are there, that we would do. No fresh sanctions are happening. So this 80 crores that you have seen, which we reported, was on account of the sanctions which were done in the past. No fresh sanctions are.
Okay. Great. And on the housing finance, we were supposed to, dispose this and potentially find some investors. Where are we currently, and what is our thought process on that?
So, on the HFC side, as you know, we are a pure play affordable housing franchise, and our growth potential is immense. And as you can see from our numbers, we've been able to do consistent in our all parameters, and our operating metrics are pretty much best in class. So while we continue to invest behind it, but at the same time, the board is contemplating various options to unlock its value. And at this stage, we have nothing more to add beyond that, whatever is already mentioned in the press release.
And any timeline, maybe year or next 1 year time or something like that?
It would be very difficult to predict, Apurva. You know the industry better than me. I think it may not be appropriate for but to actually give a timeline to anything like this.
Okay. So in next 1 year time, our focus will be more on CV finance. That is the area we'll focus on. That is what we are looking to do our business more on the CV side, or any other line of business which we are looking at.
CV finance, and within the CV finance, use CV finance, and then definitely the affordable housing.
Okay. And on the branch addition, we would like to expand the branch addition, or this is the thing we are done with the branch addition and we would like to maintain this?
We have footprints across 22 states across India.
Yeah.
We believe that it's the time to consolidate, gain the presence, reap the benefits out of this presence. We are more focusing today on digitization. so that the customer's journey becomes at least assisted and then probably move to DIY before we start expanding the branches again.
Okay. And on the process side, over the last past 1-2 years, how do you see ourselves on the process side? And, you know, because UCV is a dangerous segment where the yields are high, but, you know, there can be a lot of NPAs coming when the cycle turns bad. So are our processes and everything in line, and whatever the, you know, we have gone through all the things over the period, are we? We are through with the process that even if the CV cycle turns around, we will not be taking any hit.
That's what we are doing, Apurva. Two things we are focusing on. One is we have shifted focus to ICV, LCV funding and small commercial vehicle funding. So if you look at even a bad recession, these are vehicles which cater to the consumption segment. So the consumption segment typically doesn't go down so drastically as HCV. So we feel like we are adequately covered there. Second, our needs are much higher and we are assuming a good amount of GNPA so that even when there are bad cycles that come across, we will be able to cover and recover our money.
Okay. Thanks and wish you all the best.
Thanks, Apurva.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Harsh Shah from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I would like to understand our AUM guidance for the next 1 or 2 years and how we are going to achieve that.
Harsh, thanks for being on the call. I think when Karthik gave his commentary, he did mention about Karthik and both Srijit, when they gave their commentary, they did mention about the plans that they have for the future. I will first take the CV segment. There we have said that currently the infrastructure is such that it can cater to 300 to 350 crores of disbursement a month. We are currently doing about 150 odd crores, which effectively, which was done that way because we had to put our processes in place, we had to put our systems in place, and now that having been done, we are looking at how to ramp up. So there is, in fact, he also mentioned about 500 crores plus disbursement in the current quarter. We hope to maybe double it going forward into the subsequent quarter. Basis that we are fairly confident of going to where we were possibly a year and a half back in terms of 1,000 crore plus kind of on a quarterly basis. If God willing that happens, we would definitely be having roughly 3.5 to 4,000 crores of disbursement, and along with the existing book of about 3,400 crores of CV, we should possibly look at a 5,000 crore kind of AUM for the by end of March 24. We also look at the housing finance segment growing up significantly, and we look at, in fact, the growth was at about 30% in the current quarter versus the immediately preceding quarter. Funds have been tied up, in fact, by corporate large disburse, I would say sanctions are coming our way. We are very confident that this, we are expecting to grow by at least at the same level in the coming quarters as well. So we believe that we should be in the 2,500 crore range in terms of the housing finance segment as
well. Mr.
Okay, and on the SME finance?
Sorry,
you are not audible.
On SME finance, so what are our plans over there?
SME, we plan to refocus our SME segment. We want to focus there more on the priority sector lending. Our approach will be to move from whatever is the large labs today we are doing to segments around the CV customer. We want to be the end-to-end lender for the CV financier In the SME segment also, we want to push it down. The overall SME segment, we want to focus around the CV segment so that the customer CV operators who want a working capital funding come to us and take the SME funding by giving their property. This gives us two covers. One, they will be able to raise funds with a known financier. Second, I get the comfort of their property so that the overall asset cover of mine is better. We plan to reduce our SME focus and put focus only on the priority sector lending there.
Okay. Sir, and secondly, if we look within the SME finance, so you said we are planning to look towards CV financiers kind of a book only. So other than that, what kind of or that will be the sole kind of a lending we'll do in the SME finance?
As of now, SME segment, we want to do the priority sector lending. That will be the top priority. And we want to move into smaller ticket size. That's what is the plan which we are doing. So the smaller ticket size, if you look at the immediate biggest customer base that will be available to be will be my captive base, which is where I want to capture. That's what is the plan.
And secondly, I wanted to understand that within the past incidents which has happened with our asset book, so what are our learnings from the past and what kind of process tightening we have done so these things are not repeated again?
Yeah, what we have done is, Harsh, we have put in processes and also had our loan origination system revamped. So now the new loan origination system has business rule engine, which ensures that any kind of past repeat doesn't happen again. So we feel like technology will be the most important solution to implement whatever is the process control which we plan to deliver. That's what, and that has been implemented, that has got tested, then only we have started our ramping up.
Okay. Sir, last question from my end is that what will be our sourcing mix going ahead for the whole disbursement that we do? What will be our sourcing mix? How much sourcing will be in-house?
Our model is predominantly a relationship manager base. So it will be approximately 80% relationship manager base. But if you understand the used commercial vehicle segment, a lot of business happens through brokers who act as connectors for us. So it will be a mix of our relationship managers plus this connectors who will be the sourcing mix in our overall commercial vehicle sourcing. Also, if you understand, commercial vehicle is always a customer-driven thing. A customer refers another customer who is in the same market. That's how the commercial vehicle sourcing happens. So a customer referring another customer will be one where my relationship manager will be the major guy who will source, plus there will be a small portion of the connector. On housing,
yeah. So in housing, it's pretty similar to the CV business, that 75% of our sourcing will be through our in-house relationship managers, and 25% is where we would have connectors who would be sourcing business for us.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in with you.
Thanks, sir.
We have our next question from the line of Sumit Balotia from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the detailed presentation and also hosting this con call. It's a welcome change. I hope that we do engage on a quarterly basis through con calls. So my question is firstly on the liability side. So we went through a crisis last year. So if you can just share what are the corrective actions that we took on the liability side in particular, and what is the strategy going ahead to ensure that, you know, we are able to cater to, we are able to manage this 450 crore kind of a monthly disbursement. And what is the strategy on the off-book, on-book mix? You know, what proportion of the incremental disbursement would be funded through securitization or other, you know, for co-lending or other such measures. That would be helpful.
Sumit, thanks for being on the call. On the liability side, I would say that I did mention in my commentary that funding has started. We have been able to raise 686 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. In the third quarter, we have been able to raise 683 crores. In fact, one of that was the large 400 crore NCD issuance which we did and which was subscribed to fully by Tata Capital. Along with that, a lot of other lenders that we have been working with in the past have started coming back and I would say started funding us. We are speaking to many of them. We expect a lot more funds to come in. And we don't see any challenge in having a steady pipeline for our for any disbursement that we would need to do. Sanctions are coming. The lenders are getting comfortable. We are able to talk to each one of them the way in that you thanked us for being on the call this time or getting onto a call this time. I think all lenders have also echoed the same sentiments that you have echoed. So definitely we don't see a challenge going forward in terms of getting funds for disbursement.
Sure. So, so that also means that the cash on book that we have as of now, which is pretty high, that will also come down as a proportion of overall AUM. And also, how has your cost of funds been moving? What is it today? Incremental?
The cost of funds for the third quarter was at about 10.2%. So we expect it to be reasonably steady as we go ahead. And I would say that going forward, when the lenders, they see the volumes improving, the profitability coming back, we will be able to convince them to reduce it as we go forward.
Sure. And so what is your monthly or quarterly repayment? Just to understand again, you know, link it with the overall AUM growth, because we have given a guidance of, I think, 250 crore a month in just the current quarter, right? The disbursement target.
Just a minute,
huh? Sure. In the presentation, it was mentioned 250 crore monthly run rate for disbursement, and I think just now on the con call, you guided for a 500 crore disbursement only on the parent side.
I will clarify that. We said that monthly disbursement of 250 crores, that we said at a consolidated basis. When Karthik spoke about the disbursement, he specifically mentioned it is about the commercial vehicle, the CV space. So overall, we expect the total disbursement to be in the 750 crore range for the quarter.
For the fourth quarter. And our monthly repayment or rundown would be how much?
I think I would need to take it offline with you. If you can send out a mail separately, we will reply on the mail, because definitely when we have factored, when we looked at the ALM for a 1 year kind of picture, for the first 1 year, basis all the inflows that we are expecting, basis all the repayments that we are seeing, we are fairly confident that we have sufficient funds in hand to take care of it. In fact, you were referring to the PPT. You were referring to the presentation which we put up and which mentioned about 500 crores of disbursement, no, 250 crores of disbursement. If you take out slide 22, there we have actually covered the ALM. There we have mentioned about total outflow in terms of liability repayment. In January, about 129 crores went out. February is about 95 crores, March about 209 crores, and then for the next three quarters after March, 443 crores, 431 crores, and 180 crores. I suppose that's the decent. Sure. I can push the quarters later on if you want.
Yeah, and Sudha, thanks so much. The only conclusion that I was trying to arrive is that the phase of degrowth for us is over now, and from the current quarter, hopefully we'll see us getting back into the growth trajectory on the AUM plan.
Yeah, we are hoping for the best, and we are confident that this current trend will continue.
Sure. So one last question, if you permit. On the branch addition side, so we saw an aggressive expansion from, say, FY 2021 to 2022. Almost from 200 branches, we moved to 400+ in FY 2022 end, and right now today we are at 423. But in the same time frame, if I just look at last three, four quarters when this crisis had happened with us, we have been reducing our employee headcount, you know, from I think around 3,000+ to currently around 2,700 kind of number. How does this add up? We've been reducing employees, but we've not shut down on the branches. Are we looking to, you know, going forward, identify branches which are inefficient and shut it down? What is the strategy on that front to ensure that our cost to income gets to a reasonable number?
See, branches, as of now, we have only rationalized. We have not shut down any of the branches. We continue to be in the 423 branches. Employees, you know, because the bulk of our employees are field-level RM who continue, where there is a large amount of churn that happens across the industry, and we are no different. If you look at the industry also, there has been a large churn that has happened, and it will keep happening. Because we slowed down our disbursement, there was some impact there, but we feel like it will recover. Only based on the performance few people have moved out, the balance, we feel like there's no major change.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
The branch increase may not be there, but then, because like we said, that the current infrastructure is capable of taking care of at least two and a half times the existing volumes.
Okay.
Thanks, Sumit. Thanks for being on the call.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Shah from AT Capital Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, given that we have a new management in place, I would like to hear from the new CEO what will be the immediate focus in terms of the growth areas of improvement for the organization.
Hi. Thanks for the question. Our primary focus is on the commercial vehicle funding. We plan to increase our presence in the used commercial vehicle funding so that our NIMs are in the higher bracket. Two things we are doing. One, we have moved our focus down from the M&HCV segment to small and light commercial vehicle segment. I touched upon this briefly during the last question. ICV, LCV, and small commercial vehicles is on the used front is something which we want to focus on. This will reduce our average ticket size to around 5 lakhs-6 lakhs. We feel like this segment is one thing which will help grow Indostar because these segments are not impacted by any vagaries on the vagaries of the economy. Because India is a consumption market and the consumption industry is likely to be remaining quite high. If you see, even during the peak of the lockdowns, you and I were ordering from Amazon, which were getting delivered. Those were getting transported by the ILCVs or LCVs and small commercial vehicles. That's where we want to be in. That's on the business front. On the process front, we have tightened. We are moving towards digitization so that the customers can get assisted quickly by the relationship managers at the field. They are able to decide on cases based on scorecard. That's the process tightening we are doing. We have also built in rule engines in our loan origination system so that the system doesn't permit any kind of error that could have crept up in the past. That's the another tightening which we are doing. These are the three broad areas. We will focus on growth of our book and ensuring compliance. These are the two things which, as CEO, I want to take forward so that Indostar becomes one of the top performing NBFCs.
Thank you, sir. This is really helpful. My second question is on the shareholding, sir. Brookfield owns around 56% of the shareholding. Is there any chance that Brookfield might reduce their stake below 51%? Essentially, what I'm trying to understand is, you know, will there be any reduction in support from the Brookfield? What sort of conversations are happening between you and Brookfield?
You see, Amit, during the bad time, Brookfield or for that matter Everstone, they didn't give up their support. They supported us. Now that things are over, the things have come back to normal. We don't see any reason why we would need more support from them. But then I'm sure that as a process regarding the shareholding and other things, I don't think we can comment on it. I think it's appropriate that they themselves comment on it. We don't see any reason why the supports will go down. We don't see any reason why that.
Okay. And just to continue on this, what are our plans to bring down the promoter stake to 75%?
The steps are being taken to comply with the minimum public shareholding. So we are moving in that direction. We will give our, I would say, as and when we move on that, we will keep on informing the markets about it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. This is really helpful and all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I now hand over the call to Mr. Nikunj Jain for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah. Thank you, participants, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. If there are any further questions, queries, please feel free to reach out to me or Orient Capital team. Our coordinates are shared in the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of IndoStar Capital Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.